This is Mitchell Katz, and you are listening to the Autism Experiences Podcast on Spotify. Welcome in to the Autism Experiences Podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Katz, and today our guest is Janelle Harding, a 31-year-old entrepreneur, wife, and mother of an amazing little boy. She's a certified transitional life coach with credentials in psychological first aid and cognitive behavioral therapy coaching. Her business, Grace and Compassion Life Coaching, was birthed through her marriage to a wonderful man who has autism and the awaited birth of their first child. Her passions are autism advocacy and edification through helping women reclaim their identity while loving a neurodiverse spouse and guiding neurodiverse couples in uncovering a new normal of greatness and happiness within their marriage. Well, welcome in, Janelle. I'm happy to have you on the podcast today. Let me start off with kind of an easy question. Tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background.
Well, I'm 31 now. I have to remember my age. I'm 31 now, and my husband is on the autism spectrum. Prior to him, my very best friend of now the last 10 years is on the autism spectrum, and me and him actually dated for 2 years. And so through those two and my prior schooling, and I used to work in a group home for autistic adults who were on the spectrum, I began to feel like, okay, I need to offer services to them that aren't there. And so no matter where we looked, there aren't many services for help and guidance on like the big parts of life, like getting your first house and how to navigate the changes that come with that, or parenting and relationships and moving in with people. And so I created my business to help them and help those who are with them like me.
So tell me about your husband. You mentioned him a little bit. What are some of his strengths and some of his weaknesses as someone on the spectrum, and more specifically related to like how you interact with him and you live with him on a daily basis?
Yes. So his strengths are definitely his ability to bounce back from things. Like for me, if something distracts me, or if our son is being rather difficult that day or fussy, I will be thrown off the whole day. And for him, our son, I call him baby boy, he could literally fall out full tantrum for 20 minutes straight. And then an hour later, the husband's like, okay, so what are we doing? And I'm like, what do you mean what we're doing? Our son just had a tantrum for 30 minutes. Like, I'm doing nothing. But for him, like, as soon as the moment is over and he's removed himself from it, that moment's over with. It no longer has any bearing on the situation. Even if it's like me and him getting a heated argument, and then he'll go away for 2 hours, and then he'll come back and be like, hey, so are we going on a date tonight?
No.
Like, we just had this huge argument. He was like, but that was 2 hours ago. And he's completely serious. That was, in fact, 2 hours ago. He's over it. Life needs to go on. And I learned
so much.
Don't
you wish we could all be that way? Like, even me, I let things kind of fester sometimes, and like it ruined my afternoon, my evening, my middle of my day, whatever. And to have that ability to be like, okay, that happened then. I thought about it. I took it in. I understood it. I processed it, you know, but then to be like, okay, well, now we need to move on with life, because life isn't about living in the past. It's really a positive like thing to focus on.
It is.
To be able to do.
It took me a while to get used to, because I used to feel like, oh, you don't care about the argument, or you don't care about me. But no, it's just for him, out of sight, out of mind. He moved on to the next thing already.
Right.
And so one of his weaknesses, probably the amount of time he needs to himself. Like, it's one thing to learn about that, about the autism need a lot of time to decompress, to move away from sensories, to process the day, but it's a whole nother thing when you have like joined your life with someone.
Right.
And they're like, I need to take a nap. And you're like, oh, 45 minute nap. Sure, go for it, babe. And then they emerge 4 hours later and they're like, oh, I'm good now. That takes, I'm still not great at it. It takes a lot of patience and a lot of putting yourself in his headspace and reminding myself that he's using a nap in a different way than what I use a nap for.
Right. Right. So I'm that's the same definitely way one of that. Yeah.
It's hard. How do you explain it? Like, do you call it a nap too?
I mean, it's a nap, but it's just a separation from the immediate, you know, what's going on in life. It's a separation from that. It's how he, and sometimes I myself cope with frustration. I have to break away completely from that. And that requires sometimes taking a nap or sometimes like doing something that is completely opposite of what was happening earlier, you know? Like the opposite, like that in itself is a spectrum, you know, because to break away and do something completely the opposite thing, it's like one end and the other end, you know. Mm-hmm. I can completely see where that's like definitely hard for you probably to get used to, where like he needs that amount of time to process and deal with whatever is going on, and then when that time comes where he's good, it's like, well, I'm not good, you know? Like, he also has to see your side of it too, you know?
Yeah, like, definitely. That's the other thing.
He can't just be like, well, this is how I deal with it, and that's it, you know? A lot of people compare, like, people on TV, like Sheldon from Big Bang Theory to that, you know? Like, well, I dealt with it, and now it's not my problem anymore. So if you have a problem with it, then you deal with it in your own way, and it's not on me anymore, you know? And,
right.
And it's very true about autistic adults and kids too, for that matter. Kids deal with that on a regular basis too. They have their temper tantrums, and then a moment later, mm-hmm. it's like, "Well, I'm over that. So what's next?" You know. So I completely agree with that statement. I definitely get that way myself sometimes.
Yeah, it's been a challenge, but I'm slowly learning to kind of balance it out. So like now, when he does those times, that's my me time.
Right.
So if I want to take an extra long 2-hour bubble bath, or if I want to catch up on notes from my clients or working on my business or making videos for my content, I do that in that time, because then that becomes my time. And it becomes less like, oh, he needed space away from me. Because in a neurotypical brain, that's instantly where our mind goes to. Oh, he needs space from me. When it's really not anything to do with us.
No. It's more about him in that scenario than it is about dealing with something that you went through together. We'll be right back with the Autism Experiences podcast and our guest, Janelle Harding. Stay tuned. Mentioned your business. Tell me more about your life coach company.
Sure. So my life coaching business is called Grace and Compassion Life Coaching, or Grace and Compassion Neurodiverse Life and Love Coaching. And I got the name because I wanted a name that really encompassed what I wanted to give to my clients. And I want to teach them how to give themselves grace and how to be compassionate to their partner at the same time. And so, because the biggest thing about it is with grace is understanding that we're all going to mess up. We're not going to be perfect partners. We're not going to be perfect parents. We're all going to mess up, and to not expect anything to be perfect. And then when things do mess up, to be compassionate about it, understand why it messed up, understand why that task or that situation may have been hard for you and for your partner.
Right. And that's not even like just a autism related thing. That's a life thing.
Right.
You know, I always go back to that, like how a lot of things people say, well, they're dubbed an autistic thing. That sometimes is just a, whatever that thing may be, is just a life thing.
It's just, yes, like, exactly.
How anyone would deal with that. So yes, I'm in a total agreement.
Yeah. So I try to work on that. And with my life coaching business, why I chose life coaching instead of therapist is because I focus on day-to-day tools. Like, that's all I do. I don't uncover any past trauma. I don't heal the relationship. I just build a foundation of day-to-day tools that help you communicate with better with your spouse and help you to rebuild happiness and teamwork. And I kind of walk through the process of teaching my clients what a happy marriage looks like, because it's not going to look like what we see on TV. That's not what we're going to have. So I teach them what it will look like and how to create it and how to enjoy it and how to incorporate things that they want in it.
For sure. I think that's great that you do that and you found kind of like your avenue to make that happen within your means, but also in your clients' means as well. I think that's excellent.
And yes.
So you're in the Ohio area, right? Is where you're
Yes,
you're
I'm in Columbus.
Columbus. Okay. Just wanted to be clear so our listeners know where they can reach you. And when speaking of that, where can they reach you to reach out and inquire about your services?
They can find me on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok under Grace and Compassion for all three.
Okay.
You can email me at graceandcompassion@outlookdownload.net. I'm pretty responsive to messages. Even if you just want to vent or talk and you don't actually need services, I'll still respond and talk to you guys.
Okay, great. What kind of, just the range, my next question is like, what is the range of disabilities your clients may have? Obviously autism, but we know that's been, kind of segmented into like autism spectrum disorders and like all these different diagnoses. So is there any other disabilities that you work with aside from autism, the question is?
I work with those with severe anxiety. I work with people with borderline personality disorder, as well as depression and ADHD.
Okay, great. That's really great. I think you're doing a huge service to your community. Because everything now is on Zoom, like, and on online, we can do this virtually anywhere. So if somebody in Georgia can get your services out of where you live, and it's all one and the same. And I have a life coach that is here and locally in Atlanta that I used to see before the pandemic, but I was able to inquire his services online as well, and he's my kind of therapist, life coach, all rolled into one, and so
yeah, it's definitely cool.
It's very cool, very cool. Speaking of the pandemic, I know I'm doing a lot of great segues here, but how has the COVID-19 pandemic affected your business?
So it has both made it better. Like, I've increased my ability to reach others, but it's also made it a little hard because I currently don't accept insurance. So that can make people a little hesitant and a little unsure because finances are all jumbled up right now.
Right.
But it's also given me a greater voice and more things to discuss, because we know that, especially with autism and things like anxiety and depression and even borderline personality disorder, quick changes that are outside of their control cause a lot of stress on mental health in general. And so with this pandemic, there's a new change like every 2 to 3 weeks. There's something new that we have to do or something we're not supposed to do anymore. And now the world is open. Now the world is closed. Schools are open. Schools are closed. Schools are open again. And that's such a pressure on people that it has allowed more people to speak out about their issues. It's allowed more people to say, hey, I need help. Can you help me? Whereas before, people had gotten into a routine of just pushing through their bad days. And now they're kind of being forced to take a look at it and seek out help for it.
That's a really, really good answer. And I completely agree with that. I think that's like, That's why I saw therapy in the first place before the pandemic, and it sure as heck is why I do it now. You know, that's a really, really good way to think about it. Like, we're not pushing through so much of life anymore because we have to come to face with our problems, our issues, and deal with them head on. And who better than to inquire someone like you or who I see or whatever, you know, anyone that provides this help on the internet to people, why not inquire through them to get the help that everyone needs at this time, you know, with the pandemic.
Right.
So that is pretty, it's an unfortunate thing that we all have to push through that kind of stuff when there isn't a pandemic, but it's almost like in return a good thing that you,
right,
the clients benefit from, you know, like it's excellent. You're doing a great service to your community, to people
that
need the help. Yeah, absolutely. So what does the future hold for Grace and Compassion Life Coaching? Where do you see it like growing to?
So eventually I want to partner with a therapist because a lot of my clients have their own therapist and I help a couple of my clients find a therapist. So eventually I want to partner with the therapist so that my clients don't have to search out a therapist. And then I don't have to reach out to this therapist and sign all these paperwork just so I can communicate with my client's therapist so that we can make sure our services are matching. So if I have my own therapist and my clients can work aside with them and work with me, there's no hassle. Right. You know, they can get us anytime they need both of us. They already know our services are going to work side by side because though I give day-to-day tools, a lot of my clients have a lot of trauma, have a lot of other issues that I don't help with. And so while I love working with therapists, it becomes very hard when I have seven clients with seven different therapists. And those seven therapists have seven different protocols.
Sure.
So hopefully one day I'll have my own therapist that I partner with, and Grace Compassion will be a dual service.
Right. Well, I think that is key. Just from like looking at it more, because I worked in an administrative position where I have to see programs like yours and services like yours partner with therapists or didn't partner with therapists. And I got to see that from kind of like a bird's eye view kind of look. And and it's interesting to see how those things play out. And I think that would be a huge benefit to you as well. It's a partner with a therapy, you know, service on top of what you do already. And like I said before, I think your clients already benefit from you. But I think that would benefit like a huge amount as well. So I agree with you. I think it's really great. And I have no doubt in my mind that I think you'll find that. I think you seem like the determined kind of person to make that happen.
Definitely. So,
for sure. Well, I do want to thank you for joining us today on the Autism Experiences podcast. Any last words or notes or anything you want to say to any listeners that may be listening out there?
Sure. My last thought, I guess, would say is just continue pushing forward. Like, I know that some days are really dark. I know things get frustrating and you seem to think that you're in a rolling ball, but it's just in your mind. Like, the ball will stop. I promise you, there is an end to it. You just have to kind of maneuver through it, use your tools, use your coping mechanisms. And if you need to take mental health days, please, guys, please, girls, take mental health days. Do not force yourself to continue to go at 100% if you're not feeling that way. The outside world will understand. We're much better off if you're safe, happy, and alive than we are with you at 20% trying to function.
I agree with that. That's a really good point. Well, thank you, Janelle. I really do appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you for joining us on the Autism Experiences podcast. I have been Mitchell Katz, your host, and we will see you next time.